Joshi Dela. Now we're going to start our class. Before we do this, start this class, we're going to reflect our own mind. And it's important to transform our mind into enlightened path. And also with compassion, that's considered of all sentient beings are very treasure, very important to us. And it's called mother-like sentient beings. Their kind of happiness and suffering are matters. And we are going to have this aspiration and take this responsibility. It's like we say, oh, we should help them to kind of reach happiness and enlightenment. Because if for some people think I'm only responsible for myself and I'm not responsible for others, this is very different from ordinary kind of a civil law, that you don't have to take responsibility of others. But morally, many people think it's a collective society, and it's important each one have not only your personal responsibility, and also you have a community responsibility where you live. Even you have a more obligation, or some kind of a country belong to humanity, or as a one sentient being, you have some great potential as a human form. So we should have a great aspiration. For some people, they do not have this understanding and same kind of way of thinking. Then it's still you can practice Dharma by just thinking about, you know, behalf, sake of your own better future, or free from suffering. Or some people even don't have the understanding of liberation or moksha, awakening state, but they do have a general feeling of a pain and of pain and pleasure. So you could also have in this aspiration, in order to not only this life but the future lives be reborn in higher kind of realms. So for this you also can practice Dharma. But for Mahayana student or followers, we have a practice of bodhicitta, which is often every time we are emphasizing this part, we should think about all sentient beings, because that is our own kind of reflections, our own karmic kind of image. We are responsible what we have appear to us, appear to our mind, and our kind of karmic web on net is our own. We are purifying or helping and supporting. Actually, you are supporting yourself and purifying yourself. In matter of fact, that you're going to and how you end of your own ignorance and kind of distortion, then it's a way to purely, seemingly, you are kind of outreach, help others, and in order to better help others, we have to kind of lift up or upgrade our own understanding and take effort to study and practice, and in order to, in the best way to serve others. So in the end, you help not only others, but you also help yourself in the matter of fact. So we to chant this part. May sentient beings enjoy happiness and the cause of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May they never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. And may they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. Now our class is started from, I think, 100 page 140, 52. And here it's important to our, this part we are talking about four applications about what we normally very strongly attach to, four kind of phenomena. Then in order to understand nature of what we attach to some object or that kind of connections, then we have to investigate what is the phenomenon that we attach to and very strongly kind of feel their existence. So for these feelings, we have some rises, kind of substantiality, then we kind of focusing on that nature of that, these four phenomena. These are the body, and the physical body, and the feelings that we care very much, body also very much, that is our basic existence in our feeling, vessel of our kind of existence. And then the third is mind. Although feeling and mind, somehow there is a kind of a similar, you can say it's mind functioning in two different ways. Mind could be more conceptual level of mind. Feeling is more emotional level of feelings, mind. And then it's a kind of a general phenomenon. It's sometimes called Dharma also too. So for these different part of these four, because it's there is a way to say sage and ordinary beings, human beings, have a different kind of realization or different insight, special understanding for some higher kind of beings. Or we are not talking about like a godly kind of experience, but a more meditative experience, enlightenment. After you reach certain kind of a subtle level of mind, you can stably kind of remain in a subtle level of mind. Then you see things very differently. This is a kind of bodhisattva ground differences. So although for a certain level of a bodhisattva ground, they do have a kind of a sensorial organs, like a human being who attained already bodhisattvas in first ground to 10 ground, 8 ground, they have a, such a very different experience for them. For first ground of a bodhisattva, although they already tame to kind of a unfalling, not the falling back to ordinary mind, ordinary kind of a samsara, cyclic existence anymore. They have already free from these kind of limitations, but they, since they have a human form of this physical body, they still have a, these, what we see, what we kind of experience in outer level, bodily feeling is similar. But they understand the nature of things, so they can go beyond of a, and not ordinary human being can achieve. But for 8th level of bodhisattvas, even physical function, physical sensory organs, which they directly experience this contact with the object or phenomenon, is very different. For them, directly can see that kind of a dream-like or fuzzy kind of existence of a phenomenon. So they have already more mature kind of a subtle level of mind. Also for this is a teaching. This teaching is a category of paramita teachings. In this, we can say also causal level of teachings. Then we are talking about the part of wisdom of emptiness or lacking of things or lacking of intrinsic existence. In substantiality, their emptiness, their selflessness, these teachings are very important. In a resultant level of fruition level of teachings, they are more about talking about appearances. Now, in this level, we are not talking about too much on what is the nature of appearance. The nature of appearance, you can say it's emptiness, but also we say if that is if there is no, for us, ordinary beings, phenomena appear to us are kind of born and ceasing, coming and going, and these kind of feelings, samsara and nirvana, that kind of experience. This is a more ordinary beings what can felt about a phenomenon. But for higher kind of realized beings, for them, it's another level of not only they understand great emptiness, but also realized great luminosity. So for them, the samsara is not any samsara, any more samsara. That these things are not born and ceasing, those kind of too extreme. So this part is more in a fruition level of teachings. What is existence? When we're talking about emptiness, it's means the nature. It's called the Dharma and the Dharmata. It's a phenomenon and that nature of phenomenon. So because we have a very strong attachment towards phenomenon, so nature of phenomenon, emphasize the nature of phenomenon is very important. Otherwise, our own experience from this physical existence, we easily slip over to the realness of this appearance. So it's important, essential teaching, kind of analyze. We like to analyze things from different point of view or perspective angles. You should analyze things. Then if we really seriously analyze that appear to us, like the body, feeling, mind, and phenomena, it's real to us. It's important that we grasp it, and we also clean and build many habituation based on these phenomena. But actually, if you go deeper and deeper to investigate, that lead us to the nature of phenomenon, that is emptiness. Things are lacking of intrinsic existence. So these are kind of a legendary kind of a story, not familiar to us, because we generally in dualistic thoughts and the feelings, we don't directly see the nature or experience in nature of the phenomenon. What we felt is mostly it's changing, impermanence compound these feeling. But more than that, we don't kind of directly get through sensorial power. So this must be investigated by mind, what is the nature of phenomena. So for applications of, sometimes it's also mindfulness, these practice in Theravada tradition and Mahayana is kind of the main point, a little bit different. In Theravada tradition, if you say body, they're more focused on the renunciation practice, practice of body, impure this body. This also included in this way of Bodhisattva. And also feeling, when we in talking about the feeling is content in Theravadan tradition, more about this pain, three level of pain and or suffering, three level of we can say unpleasant feelings. These unpleasant feelings may not be kind of a physically unpleasant directly, but also some dissatisfactions and also ignorance. The mind, when in a Theravadan tradition, we are talking about mind impermanence. So not directly talking too much about the emptiness, although there are level of teachings, those impermanence. And the phenomena, we say phenomena, selflessness is more emphasized in Theravadan tradition. But in Mahayana tradition, this is included in 37 factors of enlightenment on the path of Mahayana. This path of enlightenment, you can say, this is a factor of enlightenment. This is in Mahayana kind of teachings. So in those practices, we form physical body and feelings, the mind and the phenomena. These four levels, we, although we also included the Theravadan teachings about impure and pain, suffering, impermanence and selflessness, but we are not talking about more about physical body, also empty of these intrinsic existence, feeling also too, that we already discussed, and the conceptual mind, and from not talking about only the selflessness, and also we are talking about emptiness, great emptiness, this level of teachings. So these are, even practitioners, these are important. So we already, we are in, so for this, I think it's important. Last time we use camera and, or what's it called, the video or camera or anything like that. So how those cameras and video camera functions. And similarly in our six sensory organs, and the object of that is like a eye organ, ear, and nose, tongue, touch, or the tongue and texture, the feeling. Eyes could see form, ear can hear voice, and nose can smell, and tongue can feel the texture of these, the flavor, and then body can feeling that warm on the cold and rough or smooth, these feelings, and much, many more of other kind of a variety of access towards these five sensory organs. But and when we say these feelings are true, real, there is a common kind of understanding about these feeling, what is a color, and mostly people, human beings have a similar agree. Otherwise we cannot do business and have an idea exchange or working together, because we have a different, totally different opinion about what is a red color or yellow. So, but we have a For most people, we have a sin, although there have a special cases. Otherwise, people have a common ground, common understanding about this. But if we think this is a truth, this is reality, because we have a common ground, common sense understanding about something, but it doesn't mean there is a real kind of things there. So that's many aspects of scientific kind of investigation also show the similar things. People, human beings, are perceiving things in a certain way. That doesn't mean our subjective experience are valid, truly kind of a valid way. There is a kind of a true existence of, or we can say, there is a fundamental proof of our kind of experience. Because this is a survival-based skill, and also some extended ability. So this is more designed, some function of our sensory power is function because based on sensory, the survival needs or some kind of developed needs, potential developed kind of capabilities. But if you, as we said before, for sound or color or something, we only see certain things. Doesn't mean that is all color or sound that we can perceive. That's not the case. Different mammals, different species, they do have some special abilities that we don't have. That is also clear. So we also use the some, of course, some saying of dog only can see two colors. I'm not sure about this. If this is a real case, then also one of proof that there's, say, there are some species for their world, for them, they're only black and white color in their life. But for them, that is the only truth. For us, we can see three fundamental kind of color, mixed many colors, or seven, what's it called, the long and the short, different video light. Under that, those range, we can see it. And I saw one article, I think many, many years ago, 30 something years ago, I think. No, let's see, 1997, around that time. 23 years ago. So, I said that in Brazil, in Amazon forest, there is a special species, they call it birds. They can see much more color than human being could detect. So it's a kind of a science magazine in Chinese. So I thought if that is true, then also for this bird, they do have a much more colorful world than human can see. It's possible because since there is some species can see only less than us, that much could be have a, some species can see more because we are not the best in every field, like in physical level. So for this, then we say, if we rely on what we see is only truth, that kind of feeling from time and space and all many things, there are certain limitations and certain we can say truth, relative truth. There is no ultimate truth for us. So relative truth, everybody, when they perceive something, they kind of direct experiencing something that could kind of impact them. So these six sensory organs and the six object of those organs, they eyes can see shape and color and things, so on, similar. And then we can say how these kind of working together with the mind or consciousness. And then we can say, for some people, they is mind, let's say, for some people couldn't hear then, but they can see. That means the mind is, consciousness is still there. So for some people could not hear but can see, or some people couldn't hear and see but they can kind of still feel in the smell or texture or other things. So for blocking those six sensory organs, have some partial functions, even some people getting old, when they're young, they can hear very well, but some accidents or age situation, they totally become almost deaf or something. These are possible. So, but it means there are kind of a consciousness functioning in not relying on five sensory organ totally. But at the same time, also for some people, they have a sensory level of feelings in some sharp, but others are not, like memories. For some people, they can see things very well, but they cannot identify things. It's similar, can hear, but cannot understand the meaning or something. This happens. So for these different possibilities is there. So, but we can, our analyze here was saying, is that necessary, these sensory organ and six kind of product, we think it's production of our kind of sensory organs, object, we can say object of these six organs. And then the three categories. One is the basic organs that support the sensory feelings. And then what we can detect the sensory organ, the object of sensory organs. And then the power to absorb that feeling into, transform that into understandable language or information useful for you, and then you can make a decision, or based on this, you can kind of get more awareness about your environment or something. So for this three, we can say, for normal people say, oh, seemingly my mind is in those sensory organs, but it's, as we said before, for some old age, they cannot feel anymore. Doesn't mean their mind or their kind of a mind is no longer in sensory level. And then also our mind is not in form, in sound, or these feelings or touch or these. So we should firstly think about where is our important sensory feelings with the relation with mind. What is the relationship with mind? Then you felt like no matter how strong sensory feeling is there, actually the mind, if you investigate, you cannot find in any eye organs, ear organ, tongue, touch, any skin or anything. You cannot find the mind in those sensory feelings, organs also. And if you find there is a color, you couldn't try to find the mind in these, it's impossible. The color, it's just a color. That's this subjective experience you experiencing your color, as we said last class, actually we are not seeing the color directly. What we felt, we thought we are perceiving that color, but it's a reflection of that color into your kind of eye organs. You are only experiencing your reflections in eye organ, but you think you are kind of having direct kind of seeing that these are similar. You think you are the mirror, peer in the mirror, yourself peering into mirror. You think that is you. You saw yourself, but you only saw the image in mirror. The same. Same. But if we don't think, then we may ignore those kind of six sensory organs and the six object of these sensory organs, how these meet, and reflections, they are not really meeting. So sound also, these two, you think you heard something, but you only heard that vibration of the thing that is into your ear organs. That vibration makes sense, make some kind of reflect that object, the events that happens. So for us, and this is the only way. Maybe this is there is a wave of light or wave of a sound that we only kind of detect that wave. So for this, but if you see red, yellow color, red color, we don't immediately think this is just my kind of a reflection, but we think this is this what it is. So sound also same. So if this things to not meet, then in directly for us it's feeling direct kind of feeling. So there is some kind of a missing a part or twist or some these certain part of events we are kind of lacking of to pay attention to. Rest of sensory feeling also same. So we are kind of, these are actually we are physical body are always twisting that phenomena, make that as your language, you understand way of your kind of a physical ability to kind of capable to receive that phenomena information, but not as a whole truth of the picture, whole picture of phenomenon as it is. So that also give us more understanding about the what we perceiving is not a whole like a truth. So then in teaching we say collected or let's say five skandhas or five aggregates. Aggregates means the collections of a collective power or collective functions driving us. We felt this, we see this, we kind of the form and the feelings and formation, action, consciousness. So these also happened in the kind of collective power or collective functions that bring those information and image and feeling to us. So we thought there is a truth. In the relative world, they are working, functioning this way, so we don't have to, most of the time, of course, working for survive or for other things. So we don't have a much needed to dig in into the roots. But for people who wanted to go beyond, then you have to investigate what is the aggregates and what is the behind of the aggregates. Is there truth or solid reality? So mind and physical body relationship is important in first level. And normally we detect anything information we detect through our body, we thought this is existing phenomenon. But in the other hand, these are only kind of not only partial information, but also that is your kind of peer to you, that information, because it's a, kind of your ability and the limitation. So peer to you, even not necessarily have anything to do much about the reality. So these is the first part. And then we are investigating the mind, and it said mind is not in any physical body, in big parts of your body, like a hand, leg, or head, or anything, and not in your kind of major organs, lung, and liver, or heart, or other intestines or things like that, or bone or flesh or blood, and any blood vessel or other channels, you don't cannot find the mind. Then you think mind is that mind is not in this physical body, but it's kind of beyond of this body. You cannot see much about a thing we normally experience with this body, but not out of this body experience is very rare, although there are some cases near-death experience or these things. And sometimes it's a dreaming part that you believe some your living body behind this experience, subjective kind of experience. And then you cannot pinpoint anything to your as your consciousness. Even we think neurons must be a consciousness, but neurons are firing these microelectric into like have a active like your blood circulation support your need of nutrition or oxygen. Similarly, for certain kind of a physical existence and also the gross level of mind functions, they have these passing this information. But if you say which neuron in that particular moment you can catch it, then think this is the kind of roots of the mind or something. You cannot really pinpoint anything. These are called, as we said, phenomenon. It's not a nature of phenomenon. So when we investigate our mind, we should go deep to the nature of mind, not the phenomenon. Phenomenon as a kind of whole body, and then you say, this is who I am, this is my body and mind, that's all. Then it's a kind of roughly in you are in the right answer in relative truth. So for ultimate kind of understanding, we have to go to detail to investigate. And this I think roughly we already said. So for and if you say there is no mind, you can really find consciousness in a subtle or ultimate level, you cannot find anything. But for general kind of concept, body and we are kind of joint effort, we are associated with body and mind. That is our general answer. In some sutra, Buddha also said, to Gaspar said we mind is not inside, not outwardly, inwardly, and not a both side between mind and body, and no mind, and no mind we cannot identify with the kind of what we identify physical world, like a mind no color, and we cannot really detailedly describe the mind. And the mind, you also kind of say we can block our mind or this in detail. This, and the mind, you cannot only say it's a rely on particular organs. These are difficult to say. And the mind, you cannot find in appearance pinpoint level. You cannot identify those. And they have no face or no kind of location you can find. And I also said mind never seen by Buddha. And then it said it's kind of beyond. You beyond of seeing and hearing and touch it. And even use all Buddha's kind of enlightenment. You search, if you search, you cannot find this kind of what we find the material things way of that. You cannot find mind. So mind is not in the past, present, and future level you try to find. It's impossible. So why this is that's it. Because we are talking about nature of mind is the lacking of self-existence. Intrinsic existence. So it said nature of mind or nature of phenomena is emptiness. Another word, we can say all experience, all what appear to us, these are the phenomenon of a mind. The nature of mind is emptiness, and the appearance of a phenomena is mind. We also can say mind is every appearance, in every appearance and the time of appearances. And because of these two aspects of appearance and the aspect of emptiness, sometimes also form and emptiness, if you stand in point of emptiness, where you cannot find mind. And anything you search, there's no truly kind of you can find any existence of mind. And if you form and point standing point of the appearance, then mind is everywhere. Anything you can appear to you, it's a kind of phenomenon of mind. So these normal daily experiences, these are then it's called the dreamlike experience, dreamlike existence, because nature is not, it's a kind of a fossil kind of a experience. So, or another word, you can say everything is a mere existence or display of the mind. It's like magicians can play all these marvelous experience, but he or magicians, he cannot feel for himself because he is the person who do this magic. So similarly, person who understand that emptiness cannot fool by the appearance of then think there is a truly existence of this and that, to touch it, grasping rises of a strong attachment. These, so for them, it's a very simple and a clear understanding about the illusion. So for this why we want to become a great magician or great to understand that all appearances are kind of there is a reason why these experiences happen, and you can accept these experiences. At the same time, you're not fooled by those experiences, but you understand that in deep down, these are rootsless, or fundamentally, it's an emptiness. That's why we said the mind, consciousness, we can say six consciousness, and the five is five organs consciousness. Six consciousness is the mother of five consciousness of eye, ear, sound, the nose, the tongue, touch. These five consciousness was the detecting. And five organs, these, they do not have a independent valid kind of experience without consciousness of the six or other five. Similarly, external form of this object of these five sensory organs, they also not have a valid existence without the mind and the consciousness of the five sensory organs, and or five sensory feelings, sensory kind of or the organ itself. So they are kind of dependent on each other. Then we are going to say which this experience is valid experiences. Then we should know the consciousness and the sensorial organ and the object of these sensorial feelings. Then how these are forming, information, become like a experience. And then if you use the consciousness and the organ, sensory organs, and the sensory organ towards object of sensory organ, this form, sound, color, these. If you put any of those two together, you cannot really make sense, say, this could be the first cause, and then that is because of this cause, can reach this result, our experience is valid. So, and in this, that's why it said, if these have a first and a second kind of order, because of this is become forming first and then this later coming later, then we should have the first one have their own causes, and so not relying on the object. So there is a causal and the causality problems about if you say, object is first, so mind is, the consciousness is second. Then without the object, what consciousness we are all talking about, valid or invalid? So it's similar. If you say, consciousness is there, so valid the external experience or the color or sound, these are coming later. Then also, if you are can existence without first without these objects, then means you have an ability not to depend on the others. You can exist first. So then you already have that. If once you have the sound or color, means you can continue this sound and form without the object. Similarly, you have a forever kind of a creation power by yourself because you have this. But if you say these forming information because it's a related situation, so it must be compound in same time, then also have these problems of if there is a simultaneously can happen, then the cause and the result is not necessary. They are same time is cause and also result. So changing, we think, experiencing our experience momentarily changing, but if the causal and the result is in same time forming, merging, then they don't have a causal relationship. That means it's a cause and the relationship cannot form. So things never can change because they have no, because it's a cause and also same time a result. It's happened in same way. So where is it the changing or like a taking place of time? There need anything. If you say compound things have a time involvement. Time involvement have a the cause and the relation involvement. But if you go with the cause, with the same simultaneously kind of raise, then it's difficult to say which is the cause, which is the result. If you mix the, it's said no matter which is the cause and the relation, or then also cannot difficult to say anything like a causality in causality. These teachings are could be very sophisticated, and in some treaties there are lots of discussions and talking about these, but we escape of much of these. But finally, we can say these three subject object experience, these three, or subject object function, these are, if you say which is a cause, which is a fruition, very, very difficult. There is a very famous sutra. Use the rice field, use that as a teaching. Buddha taught that, I think it was the English name. The sutra of, I think rice field or rice, they use seeds, and then how they form in or when rice, talking about the causality. So then very difficult to say this is a cause. Even you find a seeds level, seeds cannot, without other kind of support, it cannot form other, become kind of growth or other things. These, what they are talking about is say, in the rough level, grosser level, everything simultaneously runs very well, and the compound things we accept as a very kind of a fundamental existence, and also formation, the changing happens. But if you go more detail, very detailed, then the causality also difficult to say that is the only truth. So in the relative world, causality is truth. In ultimate level, causality is also fossil kind of a, there is no forever remaining causal kind of a truth. So it's like a dream, like illusion. Then to our today's class. So when we talking about this, because we are in the dualistic thinking, that's what normal human beings or sentient beings do. And then dualistic thinking, generally we cannot, we are not the same timely understood true truth. We are hanging on the relative truth much more than the ultimate truth. Because ultimate truth, you have to be analyzed and then to kind of investigate. Generally, our experience is sensorial, six sensorial, six mind, or we say five sensorial kind of power or experience, and plus mind is being six. But our mind have ability to investigate, but our direct experience from five sensory organ is very powerful to influence us, influence our understanding, way of understanding. So that is a false understanding in detail or ultimate level. If we understand those, then it's we achieve some full and realization. Then we thought these are not valid, not reliable. So we are not attached too much, and because we have a strong attachment, we suffer a lot. So we are out of the suffering and attachment, and then what's it called? If you really same time spontaneously know that two truths are how two truth what is a relation or two truth union of two truth in one experience, then it's called people who realize the one, that not anymore dualistic thinking. So today our part is the last one of four applications of mindfulness of analyzing the emptiness. And that last one is a phenomenon. This, if I will read 106, are we in here? I think we already or not yet. I don't particularly maybe remember. We are, you can remember, we are exactly where the last time. You can, I think maybe it's somewhere here. Let's see. Yoli and Sama. Oh, then that's good. Then it is not in the body, yet is nowhere else. It does not merge with it or nor stand apart. Sometimes such a as the does it not exist, not even slightly. Beings by their nature are beyond of reach of, beyond the reach of suffering. Then it's as we already said this before, you cannot find these mind not is mind is not body, body is not mind, and if mind is not body, then say without this mind, which is absolute kind of existence. So then search all other part of the body, you cannot find anything as a true mind. So even though you think, oh, it's true, hand is mind, not mind, leg is not mind, but we are very subtle level mixed with the mind, with this body. In this understanding, so we have many, many neurons, maybe some, I'm not sure the number, but some people said, a brain have 10 billion or something, many, many kind of neurons kind of linked together. So we think that must be mind, very sophisticated. Also in Buddhist teachings often also said many channels that roughly said 72,000, and that is a more rough. And if you go detail, then it's many, much more. I think maybe some millions of kind of a channel they can identify, something like that. But billions, I don't know. But in scientists, there are some said these neurons are very, very kind of subtle and very detailed. In this, key point is that brain and mind association are just a phenomenon of the mind. It's, as we said, phenomenon of mind, you have many possibilities. Sometimes you do have a dream, out of body experience, and different illnesses can make your different, can twist your mind. Even you have fever, you have a hallucination or illusion. For some people, you have a liver or, what's it called, gallbladder, these problems. Then you see yellow, suppose you see white, but you see yellow because of the illnesses. So these are twist mind, kind of twist ordinary kind of sensory kind of feelings are there. So this is called mind, phenomenon of the mind. And then, for kind of more holistic way to understand, is a mind. You can say your normal experience is one level of, relative truth. In that relative truth, we often said, if it's, there is a fossil, in, like, understanding, basically it's all fossil, but there is also, relative truthness in, some such circumstances. There is a relative truth. In some circumstances, it's a mere, your own kind of illusion or your own kind of superstitions, way of you believe that is a invalid relative truth. And a relative truth, valid relative truth means we all agree generally this kind of 1 meter or speed or directions. There is a normal common kind of physical kind of studies, psychological studies in some level, or chemistries, these math, we can understand these. So these are called valid relative truth. So, and then more ultimate level, I said, or do you feel think these are the only truth that is for that also false? That is not only truth, but not these are not ultimate truth. These are relative level of truth. So in ultimate level, you cannot find anything as a consciousness, as we said. If you say you dig into the roots, if you try to find the original mind, and then you'll find everything phenomenon has a nature of phenomenon. What is nature of phenomenon is the emptiness. It's a mere existence by the common agreement and what's it called? The our dualistic kind of a behavior relying on these that appear to us in different species, different body capabilities. They appear totally or some totally different. Some are close, some are same. So for example, maybe for smell, human beings and another human being could be different. What is a good smell? What is a bad smell? And for like dog and cats or other cow or horse, I think some have a similar understanding. They're also good flavor. For some, we think it's disgust, but for them, it's very delicious or good. So these are means the only circumstances for them to what is the truth, what is a good, what is bad, or what is right and wrong. These are similar to in certain kind of a situation. And then if you say nothing truly exists is the kind of ultimate reality, then what is the relationship with these two One is a relative truth. What is the one is the nature or the phenomenon and nature of phenomenon. Then it's merging what these two level exist. What is this? Then third, because we have these two experiences, sometimes in a partial way, so we're falling into extreme of these one or two. We should kind of a union of these two, then understanding about the nature of mind, of the phenomenon and the nature of phenomena, perfect in the luminosity, nature of luminosity. So mind, self nature, or you can say the emptiness and appearance, these kind of a perfect understanding in a kind of a beyond of these ordinary kind of perceptions. So it's called this attainment kind of experience, luminosity, luminous experience. So then it's some sutra teaching, the sutra also said, nature of mind appearing, nature of mind, and mind, like illusion, the mind, let's see. So general experience, it's attached towards these phenomena, which is we have a lacking of understanding of nature of phenomena. Then gradually we understand the nature of phenomena, and then we have a more deeper level of kind of a capacity, possibility to see those nature and the phenomenon, what is the actual kind of a path, or which is your mind is perfect, actually, we can say. Mind perfect, if you have an perfect understanding of mind, you have a perfect understanding of the nature and the nature of a phenomenon. Phenomenon and nature of phenomena, you have a truly true understanding. Then if consciousness proceeds as a cognized object, with regard to what does it arise, if consciousness arises at the same time of object, again, regarding what does it arise. So this already we said. So if you say object exists first and the consciousness is just the personal experience coming later, these are very common people saying. Then there is also a problem. It said because involving time matters, then once you say object is first and consciousness coming later, then when you recognize all things, because time differences, the objective things with if you say momentarily changing, then your momentary, your recognizing things are, when you recognize, then the recognizable object is already in not in same moment. Because you said it's first, object is first. So you rely on just the memory. You are not seeking that, rely on the directly experience, but kind of reflecting on this. So causal it already changed. How you can say result is reliable. If you say cause, the resultant is the first and the cause is the later. This also impossible. then, or you say one thing same time, it's causal and resultant together, then it's, as we said, if not, then no need to differentiate cause and result because it's the same. So this is a general kind of a problem about the causality. And then if consciousness come in later than its object, once again, from what does it arise? This already we discussed. And this, the origin of all phenomena exceeds the reach of understanding. Then going, the underlying of this is the phenomenon, kind of application of phenomenon mindfulness. So then there is a thing, a phenomenon which we're talking about. It's not born. These phenomena are never born. That is the way to kind of go deep to say those phenomena are empty. So firstly say, Dharma, these phenomena, even we say phenomena with our kind of ability to differentiate some are virtue and some are non-virtue, these things are lacking of intrinsic existence, or these are all empty, or cannot really have any inultimate level, anything you can kind of form or anything you can reach or get. So all phenomenon of this virtue and non-virtue in a relative concept, it's kind of a directly related concept. Virtue, non-virtue. Without virtue, you cannot talk about non-virtues. Same other round. So, originally, everything, like, or you can say, all phenomena have a lacking of intrinsic existence. That means, they do not really appear, really kind of a form as a realness, as we said before, independent, self kind of relying, kind of you need to rely on other phenomena, you're kind of a self kind of power, rely on self power, you can remain. These are not there. If you, for things form, appear to us is not real, then things disappear, cease, also not real. So since no born is real, no kind of death is real, similar. Similarly, these, we should to investigate this part. So that's why I said, you should know these kind of mere existence, that is our in conceptual dualistic thinking on this level, these appears to us. So it is a general kind of a way to think. So there's, and also saying, if you say these things are rises momentary before and later, or same time, these object of mind, these have a dependent on each other. So you find mind and other sensory organs and the mind itself. If you say they rely on each other to make sense, make the causality, in past and the present and the future, they cannot form solid relationship with this, as we said similar before, with the other kind of a sensorial power. So because of everything momentarily changing, what we say born and ceasing, anything happens or disappears and disappears, then we are talking about level of causality. Because of this and that happens, because of this causal, then the result is coming, or that happened, these in general. And then if you say causal, of course generally we say cause in the first and then result is later. And then if you say this, then when cause, when result is appear to you, cause is cease, causal level is cease. So that is kind of a one. So causal is not, the cause is not there when result is formed. So because then it's, we say, cause form, cause appears, causal existence, then result is not a kind of form, fruition is not there. So otherwise, as we said, there is a confliction of a cause and result is kind of in same standing, in same kind of a standing point. Then which is cause, which is a result. Then no cause, no result, then it's we're beyond of cause and causality. And then if you say one is the first, cause in the first, coming first, appear first, raise first, and then the fruition or result is coming later, they never meet together because have a one appear momentary before, one result appears, cause already cease. And then one is ceasing, already disappears. One is form, another one is not there. So how could we say compound cause and result? Because one appears, another is already disappears. So these are, it said, these cause and the result never meet. And then you say, first should be the result of fruition, and then appear another cause. And then this seemingly something wrong, not really our ordinary kind of experience. Or if you say this to people, maybe people felt you are crazy. But the people may think one thing, they are only cause and the result. Their its own have ability become a cause and a result in same time. So these kind of maybe have a third choices. And it said, once you say in same momentary moment, cause and the result are formed together simultaneously. Then it's, we said this is not also anymore causality. So in the sense, result, cause, and causal result together simultaneously happens. These are false. In time also too, past, present, and future. If you say present, time is past, the past is timing is behind. And then current moment, and then from here, future borns, or future comes. Past and the present, past and the future can exist only because of now you can prove now is the exist. But then you have to prove now you rely on the past and the future. Without this, you how you can say what is now? If you can from your year, month, kind of week or day and hours, 3 minutes and a second and then a millisecond, and then you divide how much time you always have trapped in the three. And also you never really can prove anything is now, because if you go deeper subtle, theoretically there must be still have a past and present and future. Otherwise it's big form of a past year, this year, and the future year cannot be kind of actualized or cannot be formed. But if you go deep, then endless, then you cannot find anything like that. And now it's now. So then from material, from experience, from time, space, this you same. You cannot pinpoint anything is real existence from causal result, causality, this. Then in Madhyamika teachings often said, if you say born, something is was born, these things are appear, then must be reliant self born, reliant others to born, reliant both self and others, and born because of not reliant self and others, four situation. So those four situations cannot find any valid. So self-born, not relying on others, these we already discussed. Only relying on others, it's like a causality, same. And if you say, oh, this must be together, as we said, for the cause and the result kind of putting together in same time, these are kind of make the pinpoint, the pointing out the situation. Also, without those self and others, you cannot say something, anything exists. So then the conclusion is said in Fundamental Wisdom taught by Nagarjuna, and also, of course, from these teachings, fundamentally from different sutras also taught the same. It said, not born, not ceasing, kind of existence, not this kind of existence, or not remaining forever, not kind of a nihilism, not existentialism, or the forever kind of lasting, or nothing existed, these kind of two extreme. And also, we think this born, that the season is extreme, kind of too, go too extreme. So reality is not born and ceasing, but not born, not ceasing. It's not nihilism or this, or existentialism, but it's a kind of a, never see form, never cease. What is the kind of what the things to nihilism to become to nihilism kind of a view or existence kind of view? So it's not one or kind of multiple things, not kind of a coming and going. This generally is said. The eight extreme, four extreme is there is a thing, there are nothing, and the things exist or not is kind of a both right, or things are not exist and this both wrong, exist and not exist, both right or both wrong. So these are four. And then more elaborate than to 8, and a more way to elaborate to 20 and even 70, a different way to analyze the emptiness. If this is so, you say there is no relative, and then two truth, what become of them? Moreover, if the relative derives from beings' minds, how can they pass beyond their sorrows? So then, two truths involved. And then some people may say, oh, this is a Madhyamika view, level of understanding by pointing, viewpoint of a Madhyamika. Vidui school. So it said, if you say there is no born, no seizing, from other people criticizing Madhyamika, it said, if there is no kind of a born and seizing, appears, disappears, this in born in subtle level for this, and then that means anything what we see is kind of a not valid, not kind of real. And then if is that you are saying relative world, are you are denying any relative kind of appearances. If you deny relative appearance, then how you can say ultimate, because ultimate and the relative are the kind of a coexistent concept. And then it kind of the answer is the phenomenon and the nature of phenomenon. So if you deny phenomena, what is the nature of phenomena you are talking about? Like, so it's said, Buddha taught the two truths. So even Madhyamika should, kind of recognize these two truths, but you totally kind of a denying of a object. Of a existence of object, then how you can kind of make sense of the two truth. So then this is a easy answer. Because of Madhyamika never kind of denying two truth. There are only two point of view, standing point of view. One is said, if you wanted to see the kind of an ultimate level or ultimate kind of nature, then nothing you can get to the point in conclusion as a solid existence. So it's a insubstantiality of all phenomena, including the body, feelings, mind, the mind, and also phenomena. Their emptiness and selflessness from this point of view, you have a, how to say, more detailed investigation than it's like that. You should understand. And then this what normal kind of a sentient beings or human beings, we can say, ordinary human beings, not to pay attention to this or not understanding this, so the strong attachment comes, and with this strong attachment, cyclic existence, all kind of emotional situation and the wrong kind of approach to pursuing happiness, and all these. Birth and death and the samsara is happening. So it's a kind of a mind that goes to lost in their own projection. So this is a kind of a relative truth. That's why it's important when we are entrapped in a relative truth, and we should wear and study about the ultimate truth. And then we, once we kind of apprehend or realize the ultimate truth, then these, in their kind of a state of mind, appearance is kind of a harmless because of they understood the nature of phenomena. And then another kind of the kind of questions raised by the challenging towards Madhyamika, it said, If you say ordinary beings have a dualistic mind and then forms these emotional and conceptual behavior to attach to things and then create more craving and emotions, these, and similarly these thoughts are kind of a very producing very full, very subtle level, and also many countless kind of sentient beings have a kind of momentarily have a dualistic thinking. So these and misunderstanding and fossil distorted mind and emotions, these seemingly very difficult to end. How can then to reach nirvana? And then the answer is over there. But you see, this is about this that, but that this is just the thoughts of others. It is not what I mean by the relative. If subsequently there are thoughts, the relatives still here, there. If not, the relative has ceased indeed. So it said for one person who already accomplished enlightened one, they don't have these illusions and distorted view and the mind thinkings about these. Things are not anymore kind of can capture and trap them in those kind of just the appearance in the relative phenomenon. So the appearances have a different appearances. So for them, I'm not anymore kind of only dualistic thinking. So dualistic kind of a subject object experiencing sensorial and mind in some kind of habituation of thinking. So for like people, two people sleeping, and the same time they have a dream, but the first one wake up, one wake up, A wake up first, and B still sleeping and having dreaming, have a dream of a kind of nightmare or something to dream, and then because of the A already wake up, so he's not scared or trapped in the dream anymore. And the second one is still having their own dream. So similarly, said before, kind of reach enlightenment or become a bodhisattva in the first ground, they do have a dualistic thinking. Although dream is dream, it's whether it's attractive or nice and comfortable dream or difficult to suffer a lot in the dream when it's a dream, a fossil kind of situation, but you're trapped in those situation. You recognize that is a image and sound and so on, that you cannot recognize you are dreaming, you are producing, you are kind of the producer, audience, and the performance. You are the characters and also the proof of those situation. Your lullaby or something. You are there, and then just kind of to experiencing certain things. You are terrified, or these happens, and then one person who wake up, and then no more fossil kind of distortions, no more suffering, and no more terrifying experience and suffer the pain feelings. So no more obscurations, emotional obscurations and conceptual analytical obscurations. So then you have a beyond of this confusion and suffering. So that said, let's see, if subsequently there are thoughts, the relative is still there. Is not the relative, it sees indeed. So this is said, one person can practice, study and practice and attain certain attainment. And then the born and death, many samsara kind of experience. So if we say one person already kind of having attainment of a certain kind of bhumis or ground of understanding, realization, we can say some enlightened realization. Bodhisattva, of course, Buddha is the highest perfect kind of attainment. But a certain attainment that only are not falling into samsara, cyclic existence, you are not trapped in cyclic existence anymore. For them, these are these kind of fossil appearances is not there, including kind of samsara kind of experience, and many things are appearing, born, these kind of general feelings is not there. So that is said, once you become Buddha, you still have a very ordinary experience. That means the ordinary experience are true, but in reality, it's not like that. When you realize, then no more. We say, oh, in order to help all sentient beings to do this and that, to kind of help other sentient beings. But in here, it said, once you really fully kind of realized, then nothing you have to do anything. Everything is kind of perfect. Everything appear to you is kind of perfect. And no more need, no more suffering, no more anything trapped. You have to be helped. It's relative in a path. You are before you fully realized. They still have the experience of different. When you are in the lower realms of cyclic existence, for you the whole kind of experience are the terrible kind of a feeling. So once a mind diluted it, then you only feel diluted, you're falling into diluted, kind of created, or your mind projected, reflected those diluted situation and suffering. Once your mind purify your mind, you are in a virtuous, kind of three virtuous realm, you feel mixed or maybe better, less pain, less trouble, less kind of a feeling of anything negative. You feel everything perfect. And if you go beyond of samsara, then you have a kind of a, you only play for kind of a things to train or improve or kind of strengthening yourself. This appearance is just a kind of a exercise. Like, and then you go beyond, then everyone you see kind of a totally appearance, the kind of pure kind of perception, pure appearance for you. So this is said. So in that luminous part, we are not talking about in here, but it's important teachings. The analyzing mind and what is the analyzed are like linked together, mutually depends. It is on the basis of conventional consensus that all investigation is expressed. So, and then also another question. He said, if you investigate or use your wisdom to analyze, these are kind of subjective kind of activities or actions. And then they have tried to drag in one side understanding to the Madhyamika. He said, if you say there is no object, how your mind or the wisdom or analyzing the power of subjective actions have a base to move and to act. So then if you emphasize objective things are not real, it's like illusion. So that's why how you explain that without the object, how subjective can be kind of a valid form. The actual reality is saying they are trying to say the way of your experience, your explanation said objective object is this. Actually, in the Madhyamika is saying object, subject, those all lacking of intrinsic nature or lacking of inherent nature. They are not saying one-sided. But here, question sense is say, if you, they are try to prove that, without one another can be discussed, one with another can be kind of a, valid. So, in this way. And then, Madhyamika, the answer, he said, it's true, without the subject, without object, the subject cannot just alone to make sense of the subject. If you, without object, subject kind of act is not there. It said, what Madhyamika philosophy is talking about is the subject and object both are no need to have a inherent existence to kind of investigate, raise the wisdom as a solid and independent or realness. You don't have to be kind of a, there is a realness, then you can use your mind. Since there is a kind of projection, these projection is our compound, and in relative level there are kind of peers. In ultimate level there are no kind of inherent nature. So we have a fossil or mere existence of mind and mere existence of objects. So these two can be function. They are not denying the appearance. They are saying the nature of appearance is emptiness. So that's why appearance itself is no problem with the teaching of emptiness. Without appearance, what are we emptiness we are talking about? So without the phenomenon, what the phenomenon, nature of phenomena we can mention, cannot mention that way. So this addressing that misunderstanding, thinking Madhyamika philosophy is talking about the ultimate truth of non-existence of a kind of objective existence is not there. That is not true. It's talking about same level mind and the object of mind, both in relative is like a projection, illusion. And then, but when you say the process of analysis is made in turn to object of our scrutiny, this investigation likewise may be analyzed, and this we find infinite regress. So he said, use your mind to analyze phenomena, and then our conclusion is the emptiness or lacking of intrinsic inherent existence. And then same time, our mind also subjective, the mind which you analyzing thing also inherently it's a kind of a phenomenon of emptiness. So then it said, how you use your another mind to investigate your object and the subject, that is a kind of a, then you, again, you have to raise another mind to investigate the subjective experience. Seemingly that's endless. So use your mind to analyze all phenomena. So it's like a continuation of analyze as an infinitive kind of way. So this is a kind of a, giving these questions. So seemingly, when we're talking about investigation, we are talking about the subjective experience or subjective use, subjective mind to investigate some experience internally or externally, a phenomenon. Then both your, each time their claim is saying you have to have a third mind to objectively investigate subject and other object. Subjective experience and objective phenomenon. So then Madhyamika kind of philosophical point standing view, he said, and this is not necessary. So it's the both the subject and object investigate, you already have the conclusion of emptiness. You no need more to each event you try to make sense of emptiness, it's not necessary. It's a common kind of a situation. All kind of a conclusion is emptiness. So you don't have to doubt each rises of consciousness have to be lead new investigations to do for this kind of new concept, subjective experience. So once your habituation of grasping and these kind of a clinging attachment is no longer penetrate use any emptiness and shunyata, the understanding of ultimate truth, and then relative kind of those afflicted logic, and also these are simultaneously kind of cease or becomes peace. So you have a kind of a not already kind of a unlocked situation, so no need to kind of do every thought one by one, unlock all kind of experiences. It's not necessary. It's the same. So it's called subjective, objective, no differences from fundamental kind of emptiness, self lacking of intrinsic self existence. So in this, you can seize the power of birth and death and samsara, all these. So it's like you burned the fuel of suffering, then suffering is no more occur and continuously. So it's like that. So it said, understand the emptiness is that kind of burning all fuels of suffering, and then you tame peace and nirvana. We finished these four applications of mindfulness to investigate emptiness, body, feelings, and the mind and the phenomena. So we're going to stop here today. Dedication prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamadra Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a supreme by all the victorious one throughout three times, all the fundamental virtues I have are fully dedicated to practicing discipline. Let us merit may obtain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From ocean of the existence, may all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom and attain to sacred kayas, and that rises from merit and wisdom. And we're going to also, if can't, or if you have a time, maybe next time I'll discuss to over the phone, but if you can have a this maybe one next 2-3 months, this will be finished, and then if possible to have some draft, roughly kind of a, if you wanted to English version, have some how do you say, selected part, essential kind of a sense, part of this class, if you can one by one take time to listen once more and read the book, and if you can write or kind of quote from the teaching and produce of some material, it's very important if you can do it, because this all is our major kind of a path, a main class for Chinese class and the English class too. This way of Bodhisattva, very important teaching. So we're talking about this later. May the lives of the glorious masters be secure, and may the and may all beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom, purifying all negative karma, and swiftly reach enlightenment. Thank you. Have a great weekend.